much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, friends. Well, it's that spooky time of year again, Halloween, and I have a fresh batch of goodies in store for all of our trick-or-treaters. So why don't we just see what they're gonna get this year, shall we?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Lois, don't. You don't know who's out there.
Trick or treat!
Check out the mass murderers, Barb.
Is today Halloween?
Tomorrow. These little monsters are just getting a jump on the competition.
I don't have any candy.
That's okay, Miss Pizer. We'll come back tomorrow.
And now.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind a tree.
Our feature presentation.
We should play that all the time.
That's cute.
That is the best.
You love Halloween Spooks. Everyone knows that.
I love the sound of that little girl singing it. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Wednesday, the 30th of October.
Worst sound in the world, my opinion. You know that, is the sound of happy children. I hate that more than anything else.
I think that's all we need to say about you, Bean.
Hey, I guess we'd invite producer Dave in, but he's at the ATM, so he's probably he needs to be a few minutes late to come in today, right?
Dumbass!
Why are you shaking down my man Dave for so much money on the first game of the season, Kevin?
Your man Dave was mouthing off pretty bad yesterday. This is his year. The Clippers are going to do great. The Lakers are going to suck. And he started. And we make a bunch of bets at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dave.
All true, by the way. Still going to happen.
Maybe.
Dave's drinking the Clipper Kool-Aid.
So he was drinking it heavy yesterday, and he's like, oh, I'll bat you that the Lakers will never have a better record, he said. They'll never have a better record than the Clippers.
Wait, the entire season?
Yes. Yes.
Well, the season starts tomorrow when the Clippers, you know, open up at home.
Oh, you're so funny, because they lost last night to the Lakers subs. I think the fourth quarter had no starters in from the Lakers.
That's true. Yeah.
Zero starters.
Yeah. Yet the Clippers managed to give up 41 points.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Look. Just pay the man.
Oh, yeah, I'll pay the man. But
there's one. Terrible throw, first of all. This is your version of paying a bet, except for he's just crumpling it up, Bean.
Just like the Clippers, I'm missing everything. You know?
You are. That was a sweet, sweet, sweet night.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal.
That was ideal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just shows, listen.
It shows what, Dave?
That just shows how bad your season's going to be. You think
I need to wrap my head around this
as
well. Too.
This is how bad your season's going to be. You think those guys are going to continue to shoot like they did last night?
Well, I think they certainly will on some nights, sure.
Not even a little bit.
Sure.
Xavier Henry. Yeah, good luck with that.
Hey, you can mock Xavier Henry.
Xavier Henry.
He beat the Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah. He got lucky. Look at it. One time. Just like the little giant said, one time.
Maybe.
One time.
I'm just saying, maybe today is not the day you mouth off.
No, I'll keep mouthing on. Listen.
Just keep paying.
Laker fans, just, you know, the victory last night, it was like they're raising banner number 17. You know, it's like, woo! That was your championship, so congratulations, and we'll see.
There's no Laker fan that feels that way.
Yeah, all of them.
No, don't be stupid.
All of them.
Nobody feels
that way. Retwitter, it's funny.
It's the first game.
It's funny, exactly.
But you, a-hole, are paying the man, and that's going
to
keep happening.
I'm in the hole right now. That's not a good way to start the season.
Now, I have to ask this question just because I wasn't around when the bet was made, but there's no chance for Kevin to lose that money now.
There's plenty.
Can Dave win it back if at some point the Clippers have a better record than the Lakers?
That was just him being stupid and mouthing off.
That was a prop bet, yeah.
They won't be ahead one time all season. I was like, I'll take that bet.
Let's go double or nothing.
Could happen tonight.
Double or nothing.
So what other bets do you guys have, allegedly?
You know, you have a best record for the season, who goes further in the playoffs.
The usuals.
Head-to-head, the Clippers versus the playoffs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So So,
Yeah, well, enjoy it. He'll be short-lived. We'll talk again in a week or so.
I believe Kevin is buying breakfast for everyone but Dave this morning.
Well, I'm buying breakfast for everyone but me.
Sweet. Sweet.
I hate you.
All right. Lakers. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Xavier Henry.
Hell no, goddammit.
You can't come in here and mock Xavier Henry. When he beat your team.
Xavier. Read the show.
Most offensive Halloween costumes.
Xavier Henry's.
Can't wait for that. Get out, Dave. You paid the man. Now get out.
He is the worst kind of sore loser.
Yeah. Oh. This shows why your season's going to be so bad. Wow. Let me hear that. Let me hear that nonsense. We have Chris Cluey, who was an NFL punter for many years.
He's smart, by the way. Did you read any of his book yesterday?
I read some of it, yeah.
He's not smart for an NFL player. He's smart for a human.
Yeah, but an NFL player is sort of is in question, as he's just a punter. Yeah.
Well, let's you can bring honest. That up with Mr. Cluey.
All right. We also have John DiMaggio, who's going to be on the program today, talking about a movie coming out called I Know That Voice, about voiceover actors. And we have your tickets for Thor, The Dark World. Got a preview for that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. Pay the man, mother effer.
We interrupt this cowbell to bring you the first Showbiz Beat of the morning. Here's Ralph Garman.
Hate to interrupt the cowbell.
Well,
but you people need to know.
There's important things going on in the world. You need to be informed on your way to work and or school this morning.
You need to know that, shock of shocks, Owen Wilson, who, of course, has a baby on the way with his former trainer, Carolyn Lindquist, apparently not going to spend the rest of his life with her. Pick surfaced this week of Owen playing tonsil hockey with a stunning mystery brunette that was certainly not her. So, although they are going to have a child together, it looks like Owen has moved on. The butterscotch stallion has moved on to greener pastures, if you will. And really, why spend time with a pregnant woman when you can get a not pregnant one? Right, fellas? You with me? Huh? Yeah. Hello?
Well, it's sort of his fault.
Hang on. I didn't even know that was an option. I could have just knocked up my wife and then start making out with other chicks. Why didn't anybody tell me this?
Secrets
of Hollywood.
You're not Owen Wilson.
They keep all the secrets to themselves. This is funny and weird and proof that people are stupid and absurd. Lou Bega. Remember Lou Bega?
One of those one-hit wonders?
Mambo number five
Mambo
was
number
his
five.
Song, Kevin.
Sure.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
Yeah.
A little bit of Louise in my pants. I forget exactly
A little bit of Kevin in my life.
There we go. There's
a little bit of Dean wiping my ass. A little bit of Lisa in my pants. A little bit of Ralph talking his A little bit of beer mug getting fired. Actually, a lot of that happening.
Yeah, I wish a lot of that happening. So Lou Bega has received tons and tons of condolence calls now that he's passed away.
I didn't hear he died.
Oh, no, wait a minute. That was Lou Reed. Apparently.
Who's getting those two mixed up?
A European journalist mistakenly identified Lou Bega as having died instead of Lou Reed.
Love it.
Very similar careers, Ralph. There wouldn't be a K-Rock if there hadn't been a Lou Bega back in the 70s.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see.
That guy should have died instead of Lou Reed.
All they have is Lou. That's the only thing.
That's the only connection. Same first name.
Why not say Lou Alcindor died? Or Lou Grant.
I love it.
Yeah, so anyway, everyone thought he died, so he got a ton of condolences, and he had to post on his Facebook page a tribute to Lou Reed.
It's a weird, weird world where we live in, where people have to let everyone know they're still alive. Yeah.
Here's what he wrote. R.I.P. Lou Reed, the genius who took walks on the wild side. P.S. I've been receiving tons of condolences because of a journalist confusing our identities. So he wanted to let everybody know that he's alive, and we look forward to Mambo number six, I guess, coming out soon. I'm looking forward to the sequel. I'm
sure that's happening.
Remember you said you were with some people and they said, no, it's a hoax or something? Maybe that's
a hoax.
Maybe that's what they get confused
with.
Oh,
could be.
Maybe, sadly, Lou Bega had died. Then they find out, much to their relief, that he was fine. Maybe that's what the concern was. Congratulations to The Walking Dead.
Yes.
No surprise here. AMC has picked up the show for yet another season, a fifth season. No surprise given the tremendous ratings for the first couple of shows this season. In fact, The Walking Dead is TV's highest rated scripted series.
Wow.
All of television, boys and girls.
Wow.
Not just your cable, your basic cable. Averaging 14.3 million viewers, and it got an even bigger percentage in the coveted 18 to 49 year old ratings. That's what advertisers really look for. That's who they're selling to. Good news for AMC too. They're getting around $347,000 a pop for a commercial on that show.
Wow.
So you can see why they would want to keep that baby around. It brings a lot of cash home for AMC. So congratulations,
Ralph. Is there any possibility at some point you'll watch The Walking Dead?
I got them all stacked up, baby.
All right.
Really?
I've got these days. I've got the I've got each season in the box set on DVD, just sitting right there.
You need to break some legs or something.
At some point, yeah, I'm going to go down for a horrible, horrible illness, or I'm going to have to take a series of lengthy plane flights, or something's going to happen where I'm going to just sit back. You'll all be like, oh, I've seen that one. I'll be like, oh, this is all new and fresh to me. It's all going to be just a sweet, sweet ride for me. So. And while we're talking about...
Rick died Sunday, not to give anything away.
What? If I knew who Rick was, I'd be very upset. While we're talking about television, congratulations to the World Series. Baseball finally edged out football when it came to the ratings.
I'm surprised.
On Monday night, the World Series got 14.5 million viewers to football's 10.8 million viewers. But that Monday night game was...
Weak. It was a terrible game, and the deeper you go into the World Series, the more drama there is, just inherently. I mean, tonight's game six, so...
What? Will a guy stand there, and then will another guy throw something at him, and then all the other guys who are standing, will they move slightly? And then
first of all, you don't know what you're talking about, because baseball is the world's greatest sport. But people are going to want to see the winning. People are going to want to see a team pour out onto the field after just winning the World Series.
Even if it's Boston
tonight. Boston has a lot of fans. Sure.
Yeah, all right.
And I really liked that movie, Olympus Has Fallen. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I never saw that.
This was the story of Aaron Eckhart, Gerard Butler, Morgan Freeman. Not Morgan Freeman. He's in the upcoming story. But Aaron Eckhart played the president. Gerard Butler was a former member of the Secret Service who sort of gets sidelined because of, I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it, but there's a series of events that cause him to sort of get shelved. And then the White House gets attacked, and Gerard Butler has to step up and try to help out the president. Really good. They did a similar one with Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum.
Not as good.
Not as good. Called
White House Down.
Help Me, I'm Obama. Anyway, they're doing a sequel. I'm glad to hear this. I thought Aaron Eckhart and Gerard Butler were real good together. It's called London Has Fallen. So Olympus Has Fallen, London Has Fallen.
Oh, did they take out the Queen?
Apparently, Aaron Eckhart again is the president, and this time the Speaker of the House, played by Morgan Freeman, will go to the UK for a funeral of a British Prime Minister with Secret Service agent Gerard Butler in tow. And then things go wrong, baby. Terrorist attack. Gerard Butler's got to step up. He is becoming the John McClane of our generation, boys and girls.
I like watching him in action movies.
Fighting terrorism all over the place. And tourism.
And tourism.
I hope he takes out some tourists, too, while he's over there. Because London would be great if it wasn't for the effing tourists. So. Today's celebrity birthdays, Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Wonder how odd it must be to be 68 years old as Henry is today and still be remembered for something you did 40 years ago?
Even though you're still doing great work today.
Great work.
Yeah. He sure is.
Every time he shows up on my TV, I'm very happy to see him.
Yep.
His work in Arrested Development, his work as a director and a producer, he's a monster talent. And yet, still, when we finally read that horrible article saying he has passed away, the words "the Fonz" are going to be in between Henry and Winkler.
That's true. By the way, he's so funny, too. I don't know if you follow him on Twitter or not, Ralph.
I don't.
But he just tweeted a couple of days ago, hey, reminder, we were still the number one show on television for 5 years after I jumped the shark.
That's pretty funny. Actor Kevin Pollak is 56 years old today. Also has a great podcast. You want to check that out. Gavin Rossdale of Bush is 46. Actress Nia Long is 43. And Matthew Morrison of Glee celebrates his 35th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning on K-Rock. Former Oakland Raider, Minnesota Viking, and Seattle Seahawk Chris Cluey joins us in studio next hour. He's got a book out called Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies that we can't wait to tell you all about. First, though, the Kevin Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. That's our toll-free number for the voicemail. You call, leave us a message. Anytime on any topic, we play it back on the radio.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Listen, man. I am drunk.
All right. That is a surprise.
Thanks for that update.
That's an outstanding use of the Afro line.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. In the great ensemble that is life, you are the extra inch of fabric between the nutsack and the bunghole. Beer mug, you're just the bunghole.
It's good to hear from President Johnson.
Any guesses?
Halloween spooks.
Is that what it is? Him just being terrible like Halloween spooks?
Maybe. That's my guess.
Yeah.
What was going on in that Afro call? He was requesting some more Chinese food, right?
Best song ever.
Happy to take care of him.
Ralph and I are playing poker at the San Manuel Indian Bingo Casino, the 20K poker play. It's, you don't even have to buy in. It's free, and then you get to win up to $20,000. And we're giving away seats to sit at each of our tables.
So let me get this straight. I can pick whose table I want to sit at the poker tournament? Let me see. I can either sit at the table with the guy who's really funny and can do awesome impressions and will probably keep me entertained all day, or I could sit at the table of the guy who, two hands in, will say, oh, poker's stupid, this is stupid, you're all stupid, poker, blah, 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 stupid, even if you laugh that.
Hey, in Kevin's defense, the drinks are going to be coming to Kevin's table a lot faster, so you might want to consider that while you're picking where you want to sit.
Am I right? My day starts with a cigarette, a cup of coffee, a good DM, and Kevin and Bean in the morning. Not necessarily in that order.
Wow, that's quite an ad campaign. Let's put that on a billboard.
Kevin, shut up. I'm on a party bus. Kevin, shut up. Shut up, Kevin. Kevin, I said shut up! God damn it!
So don't know what he's referring to.
Everything.
Probably.
Hey, I don't want to party. I just want to call. Say, what's up? What's going on? What are you guys doing? Why are you guys acting like you don't know me? All of a sudden, you hang up on me. Why is it every time I call, line's always full, always busy, always taking up my time?
We are.
I've been calling this and never get on. So do me a favor, put me on. Why? I don't know. What? Buenos nachos. I'm out.
I think the Afro line is becoming a place for desperate, lonely people who have no one else to talk to.
They just want to hear themselves talking to themselves, basically.
Right. They just want to be on the phone with somebody, anybody, and they don't know anyone to call, so they call us.
Lightning does some commercials for us.
But I'll tell you, the fastest way to throw money down the trash is in legal fees.
And that was said on one of them.
Tell Lightning he should sue himself with LegalZoom. You don't throw money down the trash. It's either in the trash or down the drain.
That's a good point.
Excellent point.
That is a good point. Halloween spooks sucks, but the little kids that are singing it are awesome, regardless of Bean's hate.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I love Halloween spooks.
Aww. See, now I have to love Halloween spooks.
A lot of little kids love that song. That's true.
What about if we were to take Halloween spooks away? What would take its place?
Okay, Kevin, so you don't like Halloween spooks, but you like scary music? Well, then I got some scary music for you. Beer mugs, so freaking awesome. Beer mugs, so freaking fit. I wish that away with me and put a baby right inside of me because of beer mugs. I love them so much. Yeah, Yeah, you like that, Kevin?
That's a good point. That's troubling. That is troubling.
That's very troubling. And I think I'm going with Halloween Spooks over that particularly troubling thing.
Hey, guys, I was just curious when the next time you were going to have May and Trat on the... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
And now, a moment with Bean. This is like when May and Trat, Trat and May rather, when they, what am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
Let's
this is like
Trat and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Beam.
So if you need to get something off your chest or just talk to yourself, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Very disappointed to tell you that Local H will not be appearing in the Red Bull Sound Space on Friday night. We tried. They were very busy.
How about Local J?
Fair.
Are we at Local J? Are they available?
Nope.
Local I.
Nope. The good news is Avenged Sevenfold is going to be stepping in instead. So that's just as good. That's going to be this Friday night in the Red Bull Sound Space right here at K-Rock. If you would like to go for free, you listen to our girl Nicole Alvarez. She has your tickets tonight here on K-Rock after 6 o'clock, all evening long on K-Rock for Avenged Sevenfold. Ralph, I'm glad you're in here.
Yes.
Why are you in here?
Well, I just want to, address the white oppressor. And see if maybe we can get you to change your attitude towards not only your help, your own help.
How dare you? I heard every once in a while there's
boss Kevin, plantation owner Kevin, or maybe make you change your ways a little bit.
Every once in a while there's a terrible story on the news where you find out that somebody has, usually they have an illegal immigrant who's living or working in their home, and they make them prisoners. They make them so that they're unable to leave. Right. They bring them over to this country and they say, hey, you're going to start a new life. We're going to give you work. But then they find out that they're just in the slave trade.
This is a great story.
Human trafficking.
This is a great story, but it has nothing to do with me.
So Ralph uncovered the other day that apparently that's going on right in our own midst with our man Kevin, or as we now have to refer to him, Massa.
Yeah. Kevin apparently has, well, as you can imagine, the wealthy white landowner that he is, has a voluminous staff of minorities that work for him, and one of them, Lupita, his maid, has a dual job. So not only does she have to clean up after Kevin, who lives like an 8-year-old, let's face it. She could spend all of her time just cleaning out your pockets.
And your car. Forget about your car.
Pulling out the jacks and the yo-yo and the frogs and stuff that you keep in the front of your overalls, Dennis the Menace. But she, of course, is the housekeeper. She cleans the house. She slaves away trying to keep his mansion tidy.
How dare you.
And she has a dual purpose because Kevin, as you know, has a DVR just chock-filled with Spanish language soccer programs.
Right. Kevin can't get enough of it.
That's right.
Here's the thing. My one of my favorite teams is FC Barcelona. So, of course, they're in Spain.
We all feel that way about FC Barcelona.
And there are a lot of times in the past when their games would be on live on a Spanish channel, but it would be like a delay of a full day before I could watch it in English. Right. So I would watch it in Spanish and not understand it.
So you're watching ESPN Ocho.
Yes, or whatever it is.
La Lengua, or whatever it is.
It's La Liga is the name of the league
okay,
there.
Okay, I see. And you're watching that programming.
Yes.
And you do not speak Spanish.
Correct.
Not a whit. Not a word.
But I know soccer well, and I know all the players, and I know the...
Well, that's what I'm curious
just watch
about.
The game, and then you just watch the game.
Yeah. It's not like football where there's a lot of intricacies going on that you can't see or don't understand. Soccer's pretty straightforward. Can't you just watch it with the sound down or off?
Just when they do this. Goal! Just assume something good has happened.
Well, she was downstairs with me one day, and we were watching the TV.
One day.
And I said, what are they saying? And she said, oh, they're saying this and this and this and this. And I was like, great, have a seat.
Yeah, so Kevin forces his maid to translate Spanish language programming for him while he watches it. He makes her a human SAP. That's what she does.
Force her.
Yeah, well, you're the boss. You're paying her. You're hiding her in the closet when the INS shows up. You're the guy who controls whether she goes back to her home country or not.
She's completely legal.
Course,
this is absurd.
Of course you control her and you get to order her to do whatever you like.
So we watch the games together and she tells me what's going on.
Yeah, then you watch the games together because that's what she wants to be doing.
And then my wife would come home and she'd go, wow, it's sort of weird, but
Lupita didn't clean much today. And I go, I don't know. You got to talk to her about that.
You should fire her.
Wow.
But not until the finals with FC Barcelona and FC Jamboree.
Throw her under the bus, Kevin.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I only did that once because I thought it was funny.
Why is that pile of dog hair in the corner not being taken care of? Because Massa Kevin keeps forcing her to translate Spanish language programming.
This might surprise you, but some people enjoy the game of soccer.
You'll never know if she does.
No,
because she's not going to tell you the truth.
She doesn't really have that choice, does she?
How dare you all?
Lupita, get over here now.
I don't talk to anyone.
You tell me what they're saying.
I don't talk to anyone.
Put down that feather duster.
That way. I do not.
I will put a baby in you like Schwarzenegger. That's right. If you don't straighten up, I will Schwarzenegger your ass.
That is not the case.
Well, isn't
at
it?
All.
Maybe we should find out.
Yes. Oh, please.
I think we should definitely find out. We're getting one side here.
I will say, Kevin, that there's no way that she's excited when she gets to the house and you're there and you force her
you,
out into
my friend,
the
are wrong.
No, I'm saying you're telling me that she wants to spend 3 hours of her day translating for Whitey. She
doesn't translate. Halftime, Bean.
Let her go clean and make you a sandwich.
Go clean and get back.
We've heard your version of the events as they transpired, Kevin. You'll be happy to know that we did have producer Dave reach out to get us Lupita as well. And
here we go. Funny comedy bit.
No, this isn't. Well, let's find out if it's funny. Let's find out if Lupita's enjoying her life in your house as much as you seem to think she is. Hi, Lupita. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear.
Thank you for having me.
Lupita. So
Mr. Kevin. Look,
it makes me uncomfortable when you call me Mr. Kevin.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kevin. I'm sorry, I'm old Mr. Kevin.
You sound scared and sad, Lupita.
Well,
is everything okay?
I don't know if he's going to be happy I'm on this program saying these things or not.
Well, just say the right things, Lupita.
But they made me come on the show. They say, you want me to have on and on, and I don't think so much.
It's okay, Lupita. Nothing bad is going to happen to you. But
Mr. Kevin, I'm sorry, Mr. Kevin.
It's fine. You don't have to apologize.
It's all
okay.
Good.
You're not in trouble.
It's not a whip, is it? You know, get the whip.
Come on. That's ridiculous. Come on, Lupita.
We wanted to find out your version of the story about when Mr. Kevin makes you translate his television.
Yes, I tried to clean the house for Mr. Kevin.
Right.
And, you know, he makes me erase the paper plates when he eats on them, you know.
It's just not true.
There's a stain, I must erase paper plates.
I've never, well, that once.
Clean up the dog hair of all the dogs.
Right.
I have many dogs.
Right off the dogs, okay.
And also.
But you like soccer, right? I mean, you're enjoying.
When Mr. Kevin shaves his legs, I have to clean up all this hair.
Wow.
That was before
I had you shave me.
With the dust buster. I use the dust buster. I don't use the dirt devil. No, El Diablo.
Okay. But what about, tell us about the TV. He makes you watch TV with him. He makes you sit down and translate what's going on in the soccer game.
You
right?
love it, right? Tell him you love it.
Sometimes he watches La Liga? Liga.
Yeah. The Spanish Premier League.
Spanish Premier League. And he says, Lupita, you get over here right now.
I don't talk to you that way.
Tell me what they're saying. I don't understand them. Tell me what they're saying. So I had to sit down. I said, okay, they say now that this player is not healthy. He is hurt. And he may not be returning to game. And I tried to explain to him what happened.
And we have a good time.
He doesn't like what happened then. And sometimes you hit me.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's just a lie.
He doesn't raise a hand to you, does he, Lupita?
He lowers the hand. First the hand gets raised, and then the hand gets lowered. And he says,
that's terrible.
That's stupid, absurd what you're saying.
That is a lie.
So suddenly it's your fault if he doesn't like the translation. So you just have to start making up stuff that's not really going on in the game just to make him happy.
Yeah, sometimes they say, the announcer says you're very handsome, Mr. Kevin. And that you're very smart and articulate. And then he says, that's good. And he pets me like a dog.
That doesn't happen. Lupita, that doesn't happen.
Then sometimes he'll have me translate CNN for him.
That's in English, isn't it?
You say, what does Congress mean? What is that?
Lupita, you've got to get out of there. You got to just run for it, baby. You just got to run.
What does this word mean, economy? What does that mean? And I have to explain, well, you know, it's all about the financial ins and outs of a certain government. It's just, that stupid absurd, he said to me. Go clean the party bus. And then I go. And then Mrs. Kevin come home and she say, Lupita, why is the house not clean? And I say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Kevin.
None of this is true.
So sad.
This is a lie.
I'll get these strawberry ice cream stains off the wall now, I say. And I go clean the room where Kevin throws around ice cream in the room.
Just, you're just lying, Lupita. Why?
Mr. Kevin's a drinker. So many bottles have to go out to the recycle every week. I can't carry them no more.
Come on.
I have bad back. Mostly from Mr. Kevin kicking me.
I've never...
Oh, my God.
How dare you?
He says, I treat you like soccer ball. And then he kicks me. It kicks me in my spine.
Okay.
It's just not
it's just
true.
Ugly now.
Someone help me. Help me get out of Mr. Kevin house.
Oh, right. Oh, they were having a good time, right, everyone?
Party bus.
It's weird to watch that band play that song because the lead singer doesn't do much. He stands around.
Sail.
What, did somebody else sing the good parts and then he just comes in with
but
sail?
There's a lot of it where it's just him saying sail.
He's,
and
like,
a break.
He's like one of those models hanging up in front of Abercrombie and Fitch.
Right.
He just, he's good looking. He just hangs sail. Out. Once in a while, you'll sail. People come in and buy stuff.
Huh. AOL Nation on K-Rock. It's Wednesday morning. Excuse me. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do want to let the ladies know that the tweeting bra is now available. Pick up your tweeting bra.
What is that?
Get your tweeting bra. The tweeting bra, Kevin, gets its name because every time you unhook it and take it off, it sends out a tweet. Saying that you've taken your bra off.
Just an update for everybody that wants to know?
Just like... If Lisa May had the tweeting bra, you know, we'd be all sitting around, and then we get a tweet. Lisa's bra has come off. We go, oh! You just know it. You just have that visual in
your
mind.
Where is she right now? She left. What's she doing?
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. What's she doing with the bra? What's happening?
But with Lisa, we would need one that tells us when she puts it back on. Because most of the time, it's just
flapping in the wind.
Yep. Creators say it's not intended to be used to let the world know you're naked.
Really? What?
It sends out a device reminding women to check for breast cancer. That's what the tweet is for.
So every time a single woman takes off her bra,
and you get that tweet like, oh, you're right, I should check for lumps.
Huh. All right.
Okay.
It's for breast cancer awareness. And also, it lets everyone know when you're naked. That's also
a
little positive byproduct. What a great Christmas present if you think your wife's cheating on you, gentlemen. Just get her the tweeting bra. Here, honey, I got this for you, some lingerie. And then, oh, that bitch, I knew it.
Quiet noon every day off of lunch. She
said she had a meeting. All right, let's talk about showbiz news.
Let it know her!
Clean and sober, still as far as we know. However, she seems like she's putting herself in harm's way.
Uh-oh.
She's been hitting the club scene a lot lately. And by all accounts, she's not drinking alcohol when she's at these clubs. But how often can that happen until the effort fairy appears on her shoulder and goes, oh, go ahead, you can have one.
Yeah, you can only resist temptation for so long.
Radar Online reports that she was enjoying a night out at a club called 10 AK in New York City with EJ Johnson, the son of basketball legend Magic Johnson. I believe he is his... The gay son. I only say that because they made a big deal about it when he was photographed with his boyfriend. They made a big splash. He's very sort of flamboyant and is very much a fashion icon. And Miley Cyrus was the third member of that party.
Wow.
Now that's you don't want to be with Miley Cyrus if you're trying to stay clean and sober, do you?
I wouldn't think so, but
Word is the ladies made several trips to the bathroom together. Now you can assume what you will there. Sometimes girls just go in pairs. I
had to go to the bathroom.
But Miley was openly drinking alcohol, despite the fact that she's just 20 years old.
She's been doing that for like 4 or 5 years.
Yes, she has. But by all accounts, everybody was keeping a close eye on Lindsay, and at no time did liquor touch her lips.
They do recommend those who go through Alcoholics Anonymous and programs like that, Ralph, that you don't put yourself in situations where others are drinking around you if you can help it, right? You're supposed to cut all those kind of people out of your life and just hang with your sober buddies, right?
That's the ideal situation.
I thought you were supposed to go bar hopping and then just resist and get stronger.
Just white knuckle it.
Stronger.
They can't get me, demon liquor.
Stronger now.
No, it's not the case.
Oh. Well, that's after Drew. We'll just have to agree to disagree.
Can you imagine
Miley Cyrus drinking booze. I would assume she just laps it out of a glass like a, like an anteater or something, right? She just sticks that crazy tongue out and just dips it into a bowl. And that's how she drinks her alcohol, like some sort of llama. Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian wants everyone to know that she's hot again.
Okay.
Sunday night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They showed the episode where she talked about wanting to pose again for Playboy magazine. I just want to come out to the world like naked and be like, I look so hot, I'm back, and you all called me a whale, Shamu, a cow. She's going to teach us, man.
All right.
She's going to
teach your way.
Pages of Playboy. But, Kim, what are you going to do to the people who called you an idiot? How do you? What do you do there? What do you go take an IQ test or something and publish that? I mean, we all know you're hot. So you got other things to prove. And it looks like Chris Brown is doing a little preemptive PR rehab. He has checked himself into rehab. This after his probation violating arrest on Sunday on assault charges in Washington, D.C. That could certainly land Chris some big-time prison time. So, like Lindsay did, Chris is going to spend the time before his November 29th court date in rehab to try to show how troubled he is, how he's fighting demons, and then maybe when he goes in the court, they'll be easier on him because he'll claim that he was under the influence of drugs or alcohol and that added to his inappropriate, illegal behavior. It's a big, you know, it's a big legal gambit.
PR.
Yeah, it's a gambit. They just go in there and you say, if you show attrition and you show that you're trying to, you know, get yourself on the right track to the judge, sometimes they'll be merciful.
Here's his song that's been on the charts for a long time, Fine China or China Bowl or something having to do with familiar. China. Mm-mm. It's all about how he's going to treat you like a princess. And
oh, really?
Yeah, it's so ironic.
It got cracked a little bit, but, you know, crack China is better than no China. Today's celebrity birthdays, Henry Winkler. Of course, legendarily the Fonz from Happy Days, but so much more. Producer, director, actor, and many other funny things. 68 years old today. Harry Hamlin, who was on L.A. Law, he was the golden boy back in the day.
Great on Mad Men last season too.
Boy, he was great on Mad Men. 62 years old today. Kevin Pollak is 56. Gavin Rossdale of Bush turns 46. Actress Nia Long is 43, and Matthew Marsden, Mr. Schuster from Glee, 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Beautifully unique sparkle ponies on myths, morons, free speech, football, and absurd absurdities. Oh, excuse me, assorted absurdities. That is the longest title of any book I've ever tried to read, Chris Cluey. But welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. Hello, Kevin Bean and Lisa May.
Book Club Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
It certainly is.
Chris, you have that often then.
We do, yeah. Chris is he's not a new author. He's been writing for a long time, but this is the first time, as far as I know, that it's all been collected in a book and put out for people to buy in one go, right?
Yeah, so the book is a collection of short stories and essays, and about 25% of it I had previously published, and then the other 75% was all new stuff that I came up for the book.
Now, Chris, we know you from seeing you on the football field for the last 10 years or so, and I'm sure a lot of people came to you and said, NFL, people love the NFL, write a book about that. But you did not want to. You had something else on your mind. What's up?
Yeah. It was. I had a lot of people say, we want you to write the traditional football autobiography, and I was like, well, no, I don't want to write the traditional football autobiography because everyone writes the traditional football autobiography. I want to write about something completely different. And so one of the things I wanted to explore was kind of the idea of rational empathy in society, the fact that societies inevitably collapse. If you look at the historical record, civilization has a 100% failure rate. There has yet to be a civilization that lasts the test of time. And in my belief, it's because we don't have empathy. We don't practice, you know, treat other people the way you'd like to be treated. And so you see these societies constantly coming into conflict, either from within by oppressing their own people or from without by trying to take something from someone else. And it always leads to their downfall.
In case you can't tell, by the way, Chris went to college, graduated from UCLA, with a double major in political science and history, so he's already the smartest guy in the room and probably the smartest guy in most rooms. This may be a difficult question for me to put into words, but are humans inherently bad? Is that why we so often turn against one another rather than do the right thing, do the good thing?
I don't think we're inherently bad. I think we're inherently animals that look at the short term. We're not really equipped to look at long-term thinking because for the vast majority of our our existence, we've lived 30 to 35 years, and our sole purpose in life was to provide the next generation so the species would endure. So we are equipped, we are evolved to think about, okay, how do I get shelter, how do I get food, how do I make some babies, and then move on with my life. Now, the problem is we're now covering the entire planet, and if everyone goes about doing that and we're not thinking about the long-term consequences of what we do, it doesn't end well for us.
Do you find it difficult to be a former NFL player and write a book that's serious like that, where you actually mean business? Do you get taken lightly because you used to be in the NFL, or more importantly, because you're a kicker?
Kind of. It's yeah. I have the punter, please.
I'm sorry.
No respect. I'm like Rodney Dangerfield. Can't get no respect. It's one of those things where I wanted to write a book that's serious, but also at the same time a book that is absurd, because that is humanity in a nutshell. We are very serious creatures, but we are also very absurd creatures. I mean, in one of the pieces in there, I say we are living on the frozen crust of an explosion hurtling through space at 22,000 miles an hour, and we treat that as normal.
That's, all right, have a great day, everybody.
Right, that's our everyday existence. And yeah, that's life. I mean, life is absurd, and life is filled with these moments where you're just like, how does that even make sense if you take a step back and look at it? But you know, it to me, that's one of the beautiful things about humanity, is that, you know, we do go on with our life, we do treat it as normal, and somehow we keep struggling on.
Was it your dad? At the beginning of the book, you told a story about one of your parents. I think it was your dad that was trying to tell you to use cleaner language.
Yes.
get your point across a lot better if you didn't have to use bad language.
Yeah. Well, so the letter that originally kind of got me to attention was a Maryland delegate had written a letter to a player on the Ravens, essentially saying, hey, don't speak out for same-sex marriage. No one wants to see that. You're a football player. Just shut up and play football.
Wait, who was it that wrote
this
the letter?
This was a senator?
State delegate.
A state
delegate. Yeah, state delegate. So an actual elected official. So he wrote that saying, and he wrote it on official state stationery. So
sweet.
Yeah, exactly. So in my head, I'm like, okay, first off, that's a violation of the First Amendment. You can't do that. And then second off, why do you care? Why does it matter to you how other people live their lives? So I wrote a letter, an open letter back that went viral a little bit. And it had some very colorful language in it that I can't use on the radio.
Right.
And so my dad and a couple other people told me, you know, hey, what do you think it would have been more effective without the language? And my point was that, you know, it might have been for some people, but if you're turned off by the language, then you're not looking at what's actually being said. Because what was being said in the state delegate's letter was the basic oppression of someone else. It was saying, you don't matter. Your thoughts don't matter. You should be relegated to the dustbin of history. You know, I should be the one in charge. And yeah, he didn't have to swear to say it. But that's a really vile point of view.
Right. Now, you wrote him a letter, and you put him in his place pretty strongly.
I tried to,
did
yes.
you hear from the NFL or your team or anybody? I mean, was it a little touch and go there?
It was for a bit, yes. It was interesting times in the very Chinese
proverb.
Did you get
called into the owner's box or something? Did you?
Not in the owner's box. I got called in the head coach's office, yeah. So that was fun.
But he said, hey, just punt and shut up.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. But,
so Chris, do your teammates in a situation like that, do they just divide in the locker room where half are like, you go, boy, and the other half are like, shut the F up, you're making us all look bad, or I'm not comfortable with what you're saying, or you shouldn't speak because you represent us? I mean, what were kind of the opinions you were getting from others?
Well, it was funny because they did divide, but it was more on the they all agreed that hey, great job speaking up for Brendan. You know, that was a First Amendment violation. We really appreciate you standing up for him. And then they divided about 40% were like, we may not agree with you on same-sex rights, but you know what? That's fine. That's your right to say them. You know,
right.
Everyone should be allowed to talk. And then the other 60% were, we think you did the right thing. We think, you know, this is the right thing. I'm allowed to live my life. Why isn't everyone else allowed to live theirs? And I really think it shows that generational shift that's happening, where NFL players are young men. They're right out of college, you know,
right.
21, 22, 23. And so you can see that change in society happening almost in real time as these young players keep cycling through. And, you know, I really think it's something 20 years from now we'll look back at and be like, why did we care about this? We should be caring about the economy. We should be caring about wars. We should be caring about...
Is that the topic that you've taken the most crap about in this book? Because you do tackle pretty much every topic.
Yeah, it's that's the one that most people have noticed. I do tackle quite a bit of other topics in there that I expect to take some crap on. Once people figure out
they're there. We're going to be talking about time travel before you get out of here.
Ooh, time travel. That's a fun one.
You got me all twisted up on that essay.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
You
call him essay. This guy's white.
This is the voice of Chris Cluey here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his book, which is available everywhere, by the way. You can buy it on the Amazon or you can get it in the stores. It's called Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies, and it's a collection of essays and things that Chris is passionate about. The NFL has no anti-gay policy. They will hire anyone to play the game who is homosexual, yet there haven't exactly been a ton of players coming out, Chris. What's up with that?
So there are no currently open gay players in the NFL. As far as I know, there never has been an openly gay player in the NFL. And really, it's this idea that in our current age, the idea that a gay player would be a distraction to a team.
I mean,
that's something you hear from coaches all the time. Don't be a distraction to the team. You know, don't take
and that's
away
the
from-
argument that we all lived through on the front pages 20 years ago with the reference to the military. And now it's worked out and it doesn't seem to be a problem.
Right, exactly. And really, I think the thinking needs to be shifted from don't think of a gay player as a distraction because, yeah, there's going to be some media attention for a couple weeks because obviously it's never been done before. But look at it as, am I getting the most out of my players that I possibly can? Because if you have a gay player on your roster and he is not comfortable being who he is not giving you 100% because he's worried when he's out on the field.
Right.
I've talked to several players, you know, who played in the NFL who were gay, who didn't come out till after they were done playing in the NFL. And to a man, they all said, you know, I was terrified when I was out there because I was worried someone would find out that
that's
I was gay.
That's sort of the culture of professional sports, though, isn't it?
Well, that's not the culture in the locker room. The players don't care.
They don't care.
The players are like, well, whatever. Can you play football?
Right.
Can you help us win games? The coaches in the front office are, oh, is this going to be a distraction? Am I going to lose my job? Is the media going to be all over this? Are we going to lose fans? Yada, yada, yada. And so really it's once you see that administrative side start cycling out into the younger generation, I think that's when you really will start seeing everything come together.
All right, we got to take a break. Chris Cluey is our guest here on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, you can and should follow him on Twitter at Chris Warcraft. You're a guy who has a lot of fun with Twitter, aren't you, Chris?
Oh, yeah, I love Twitter. It's a blast.
And we'll talk more about his book called Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies when we return right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show on camera. Longtime punter for the Minnesota Vikings and most recently for the Oakland Raiders until just the preseason of this season, Chris Cluey in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Now, punters and kickers, you guys are friends or enemies?
We are friends because we're kind of in that same fraternity that no one really understands what you do, so we have to stick together.
So you guys just go off and practice on your own every practice, every in the games you stand together, right?
I mean, we hang out on the bench. Generally, our modus operandi was we'd trade Anchorman quotes during the games.
That's what you would do?
Yeah, we'd, you know, kind of stay involved.
Do you have games often when you don't punt?
I never actually
literally
had a game.
Never had one.
Yeah, never had one. I had one where I had one punt. So it was, you know, that was kind of cool. But the thing is that you still have to be ready every single offensive series because you might have to punt.
You never know.
Yeah, so
play to play, right?
Yeah, it's almost more disappointing to not punt at all because then you're like, why did I do all this?
Right.
What was the point?
You went to punting school camp?
Yes, punting camp.
That's not a thing.
It is a thing.
It's
it really is a thing.
Punting camp.
Yeah, it's a very big thing. It's Chris Saylor, UCLA, former UCLA kicker. He runs a very large series of camps. I went to a different one because this was back before he was getting started, but
Is there a lot of competition?
Yes, there actually is, especially with parents seeing that, you know, punting and kicking is a viable way to not only get a scholarship but also potentially make it to the NFL.
And much safer.
Much safer. Yeah, yeah.
Longer career.
Yep. Not nearly as much head trauma. And,
sure.
You know, they look at it like, well, you know, if at the very least we can get our kid a college scholarship, that's a ton of money we just saved.
Right,
well,
sure.
Kicker and punter.
So, Chris, a lot of little boys grew up wanting to be in the NFL. Did you, at one point when you were very little, did you think that you would play a different position?
Yeah, I thought I would play soccer or baseball.
Just a different sport altogether.
Yeah, I actually made fun of NFL players when I grew up because I was like, oh, if they were real athletes, they would play soccer, you know, with the running around. And then
that's so the opposite of the America's views right now.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but then once I got into high school, I needed a fall sport, and I was like, "Well, I can kick a soccer ball a long ways. Let's see if I can kick a football." And then, yeah, it worked out. Yeah.
What's going to happen to you now? You're technically not retired, right? You still could, and we might see you on TV in 2 weeks, right? We don't know.
Right, yeah. If a punter goes down, I could get a call. Like, if someone had a freak boating accident today, then my phone might ring. And
you're like, come on, boat. Right,
yeah, come on, boat. Flip that boat.
Now, you have to stay in shape. You have to keep kicking. You have to keep practicing.
Yeah, you got to stay ready because you never know when that call will come. And you have to be prepared that, okay, if I have a tryout, you know, if a team wants me to show what I can do, I have to be on top of my game.
To nail it.
Yeah,
nail it. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
I want to ask you about something else. Chris Cluey in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, because I think every once in a while on this program we come across something that is huge, that millions of people are into, that is completely new to us, and it blows our mind. And I suspect that's about to happen here, because you recently attended the League of Legends at Staples Center.
Yep.
What is that, Chris Cluey?
League of Legends is a computer video game on the PC. That was very redundant, but you know, most people might not get it. It's a five-man team game, so it's two teams of five facing off against each other. And the World Championships was at the Staples Center, and I believe the prize purse was $1 million.
What?
Yeah, for the winning team.
It was at Staples Center.
What? Yeah, and they filled the Staples Center, which was the term a lot of
you
people...
You just said that they filled the Staples Center.
They sold it out in less than an hour, Kevin.
To watch other people play this
game? Play video games, yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I got the chance to go watch it, and it was awesome. It was like an actual sporting experience. You had people in the stands. They were, you know, watching what was happening up on the screen, getting excited when they could see something developing.
They have cheerleaders?
they didn't have cheerleaders. Oh. They had Crystal Method perform before.
Really?
Yeah, before the festivities kicked off. And it was awesome. It was like rock concert at first for,
bizarre.
About 30 minutes and then into the video
but
games.
But what's the draw for you to watch somebody else play League of Legends? Why is that fun for you to see somebody else play a video game?
It's fun for me in that the same way people enjoy watching sports, because they watch it and they're like, you know, hey, I could go out in the backyard and throw the football around, or, you know, throw the baseball.
Right.
And you know, I can do this. It may not be at the same level, but you know, I understand what's going on. And I've played video games all my life, and watching League of Legends, I can watch those guys play and appreciate the technical mastery that they bring to what they're doing. And it's
can't you watch that on YouTube?
Yeah,
every day, all day. Everybody puts up there.
They have people who live stream. They get over 100,000 viewers, you know, every day. This is very much a burgeoning sports scene.
You're either telling lies or this is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
it's the internet. Anything can happen.
The two. Yeah. What is your game, Chris?
My game right now is Path of Exile. It's a action RPG. It's really cool. It's free to play, so you don't even have to pay anything for it. It's on PC, and it's a blast.
Is it true that you, the punter in the NFL, would rather sit around and play video games, and then your wife has people over to watch football on Sunday?
Yes. She calls Sunday her beer and pizza
What's
day.
What's happening?
She's the football fan in the house. I'm just the one who plays.
How can that be?
I enjoy sports. I enjoy going out and playing them. I don't really enjoy watching them because I'd rather be playing them. And so, you know, with video games, like I really enjoy playing those, and then I can watch people play them because I understand everything that's going into it. I'm like, wow, that was a really great move. Much like if you saw, you know, Sidney Rice lay out for an amazing leaping catch, you're like, that was astonishing. I can't believe he did that.
Right. I can't believe he did that and got hurt, and it's going to be out for the entire rest of the season.
That's what
I can't believe. bad choice of guys to bring up, by the way.
No, Sidney was a teammate of mine. He's a good dude.
Chris Cluey is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, do you have time to stick around for one more?
Sure. Yeah, I got
because,
it.
Because we got to talk time travel, my friend. We got to talk time travel. It is called Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies on Myths, Morons, Free Speech, Football, and Assorted Absurdities. And there's something in there about everything. You can't, your mind
no
is
topic.
All over the place.
There's no topic that's missed.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much helter-skelter.
If you wanted to wake up today and thought, I wonder if there's an article about what the Pope is tweeting. I wonder if that exists. Chris is your man. We'll be right back after this on K-Rock. I don't like our guest anymore.
Not a fan of Chris.
I think maybe we're out of time for this. How about that?
That's something an old person would say.
Chris just told us that he listened to our show when he was in high school. That hurt. Yeah. And now he's retired from an entire professional career.
Speaking of that,
Robert writes in. He's listening to the show. Chris Cluey says that he doesn't enjoy watching sports, but as a punter, wasn't that what he did every Sunday?
Hey! Yeah, pretty much. That's why we traded Anchorman quotes on the sideline.
So, Chris, let's talk again about your book before we run out of time here. Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies, available for download and in stores now. You write about a variety of topics, as we mentioned, and you are a crazy sci-fi geek, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
What are you into? I know you read a ton of, fantasy books?
Fantasy and sci-fi, primarily. Favorite sci-fi author is Ian Banks, who unfortunately passed away a couple months ago. He's a fantastic author. Really like Brandon Sanderson. L.E. Modesitt Jr.
I don't know any of things that you're talking about right now.
You are not Jim a Butcher. Typical NFL player. I'll give you that.
I get that a lot. You know, I painted tabletop miniatures in the locker room a couple times. That was an interesting experience.
That didn't happen.
That did happen. You can ask my teammates.
So no one wants to play with Chris. That's what we're doing.
Chris is A punter and B painting
it was great.
In the locker room.
Because they walk by and just do this double take. They're like, what are you doing?
Are you trying to get beaten up?
Well, no, it's great because then I'd explain the game system to them and everything that goes into it. And sometimes they'd be like, okay, that sounds kind of cool. And then most of the time they just shake their head and walk off.
Well, I don't blame them. All right. So let's talk about time travel because you've come up with, I think, a controversial new theory as to why here in 2013 we have never met any time travelers yet.
Yep.
What's up?
So my theory on time travel is the fact that if you successfully create a time travel device, then you know that makes time travel possible up to the point that that device is created, because you can't go any further back than that device because you don't have time travel yet. Now, unfortunately, when you create time travel, once that device is available, that means anyone who gets their hands on it can use it, and once they use it, they can go back in time to then change the course of events, you know, leading to new timelines. So essentially, what you're going to have is trillions upon trillions of different events all happening, all being wiped out until someone finally says, you know what, the only way we can live is to get rid of this thing. And so the instant we discover time travel, it will blow up. Hopefully not super spectacularly, but you never know.
So in other words,
it's
going to be
a lot of thought into that.
He has. It's going to be a weapon that is going to be too powerful. It's like trying to rid the world of nuclear bombs because you know how catastrophic their use would be.
Right.
If we invented time travel, what you're saying is it would be a very short order before we'd realize that it was the biggest mistake humanity ever made and we need to destroy it and promise to never build another time travel machine.
Oh, we wouldn't even have time to realize it. It would just be an instantaneous explosion. It would be some scientist in a lab saying, aha, I've just got boom. because what happens is that you have this, you know, you have this device, and let's be honest, with our current political state, the government is going to take control of that immediately. So now you have this entity that's going to use it for their own purposes, you know, to try and make things to their ideal world. And all it takes is one person sneaking in and getting into it and then changing things. And that alters that entire timeline.
Imagine if the government could have put up a website for healthcare that worked.
Right, exactly.
Go back every day.
Yeah, go back. You always have that part where all it takes is one person to change everything until eventually things are going to keep getting changed over and over and over and over and over until finally someone is like, you know what? We cannot live as a species because we are under this constant threat of everything that we've done doesn't matter. It will be completely wiped out because someone will go back and change something.
Now, I always hear, and that's always one of the central premises of any story about time travel, is that the guy goes back and he changes history. And sometimes it's overt. He does it on purpose. He goes back and he tries to stop Lee Harvey Oswald from assassinating President Kennedy, for instance. I understand if something like that happens, that's a major change and that changes everything. But if I go back and I'm just a guy who's working in a hot dog on a stick in a mall and living a quiet life in the suburbs, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm ever going to change the course of any history that was ever likely to unfold without me, right?
Well, no, it's the whole butterfly effect. You know, butterfly flaps its wings in Japan, you get a hurricane in Miami. It's you know, the smallest action you take can have totally unforeseen consequences.
It's so good for you to shoot that high, though, Bean.
Yeah.
If you can go back in time, you're going to work at hot dog on a stick again.
So are you saying I can dream bigger?
Well, maybe.
maybe a tiny bit. So let's say you're working at your hot dog on a stick, and you're like, okay, I had this one customer who was a real jerk this one day, and you know, maybe I should have told him off that day. So you time travel back, and you keep everything else the same, but you tell off that one customer. So he gets so upset by being told off that now he goes home and kills his wife. And so,
wow, but way to put that on me, Chris.
Way to go, Bean.
But then that sets off, you know, a chain of events where, okay, now the police have to investigate this, where that changes, okay, maybe they couldn't investigate this other crime that was happening. So someone else doesn't go to jail who then goes on to become the next mass murderer. And, you know, it's really this chain of one tiny change can alter everything.
So all of a sudden I've ruined the world by working at hot dog on a stick.
Basically you made the next Hitler. Way to go.
Did you come up with that theory while you were playing Green Bay or somebody, while you're sitting on the sideline?
I think that one was during practice.
It was during practice, okay.
Yeah. Do you think, Chris, that time travel is a thing that will ever be possible?
I don't know. I mean, I really do think that if we can, we're traveling obviously forward in time all the time. I mean, you know, we're going from 1 second to the next. I don't think traveling back in time will ever be possible simply due to the fact that, you know, you will change everything if it does become possible. And
if it did though, would you rethink being a punter?
No, I like being a punter. are you kidding me? When I averaged out my my salary per, you know, hours worked one day, and it was I think I was getting paid close to $1.8 million for like a minute of work or something
awesome.
Like that.
That doesn't include all the practice, but awesome.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's, why would you not want that job?
Do you practice separate from all the other players on the team?
Doing individual stuff, yeah, but then you come together for team stuff. That's about 20, 25 minutes because you only have about two hours and 10 minutes for practice, and so they have to try and squeeze as much in as they can. So
gotcha.
Special teams gets about 25 to 30 minutes, and that's fairly consistent across the league.
And you don't even need a shower after the game.
Well, my wife appreciates it if I take one, but it's
okay.
It helps.
Well, listen, first of all, people should go out and buy the book, Beautifully Unique Sparkle Ponies. It's very, very funny and very thought-provoking. It's by author Chris Cluwe, last name Kluwe. Follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Warcraft. I would like you to be our time travel correspondent, Chris. In the event that time travel is in the news and we need somebody with some thoughts on the matter, we want to call you up.
I would love to be the time travel correspondent.
What are you, Rain Man? Let's talk time travel. You wrote about 75 topics in the book. All you care about is time travel.
That's the one. That's Come the one on. Right there. That hit me right where I live.
It's scratching an itch.
Well, because it opened up the possibilities of my hot dog and a stick career, which is the life I've always secretly wanted.
Sure.
All right, Chris, go back home to your wife and beautiful family. Thanks so much for the time today. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Stop it, beer mug. You ruin everything.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Ralph, I know you're very excited about our guest coming in after the top of the hour. He is a voice actor extraordinaire named John DiMaggio.
He's a legend. He's one of the best.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
He's one of the best.
He is.
He has a new documentary out called I Know That Voice, and it's exactly what you think. A million voices that you've heard your whole life. There are actual people behind those voices.
And like some of them big stars, too, by the way.
Right, exactly.
Mark
like
Hamill.
Ralph Garman on The Family Guy,
well,
for example.
Yes, I do a ton of work on The Family Guy, and I was ignored by this time.
But you're a big enough man that you're still going to give John his moment to promote his documentary, even though it's incomplete since you're not in it.
Just because he's not aware of my legend, right, of my genius, doesn't mean I'm unaware of his.
Okay.
He is one of the best. Yeah.
That is coming up right after the top of the hour. First though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
A lot of people I work with on Family Guy, however, are in the documentary.
Oh.
So I'm happy for them.
So they didn't ignore the show, just
they got acknowledged. Is makes me very happy for them, of course.
For them, right.
For me, very sad.
It gets better.
Thanks. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. If you are a Jane's Addiction fan, you may want to see them get their star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning.
Yay!
11:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So for our East Coast affiliates, I'm sorry, you're going to have to adjust accordingly.
We don't have think it's Pacific Daylight Time, so.
You know this is his pet peeve, right? Mm-hmm. You know Bean is going to tweet 75,000 times on Sunday. It's not daylight savings time.
Oh, I can't wait to say just savings all over the goddamn place.
Drives him crazy.
It's happening at Playmates of Hollywood. How appropriate.
All right.
That store is at 6436 Hollywood Boulevard. Speaking at the ceremony will be John Densmore, legendary drummer of The Doors, and Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters.
Very cool.
Very cool. Then Jane will just, I don't know, perform right there in the street for everybody. So
nice.
Cool event. If you want to check it out, again, at 11:30 today, Pacific Daylight Time. Check that out.
Don't forget, Daylight Savings Time.
The Savings Time is weekend. Sunday. We get an hour because of Daylight
don't
Savings Time. Right?
Nope. Yeah. It ends. It's standard time this weekend.
Right.
Yeah. We lose an hour because Daylight Savings Time.
Saving. Right.
Savings. Savings.
Savings, yeah.
I hate it when Justin Bieber does something good.
When does that happen?
It affects my worldview. It shakes me to my core.
He did something good?
According to TMZ, he played a show in Guatemala City last Saturday and then did some real work the next day. He helped build a school for children in a severely impoverished town.
No.
Then gave one of the kids the shoes off his feet.
No.
That's a PR stunt, right? Let's just say that's not genuine in any way.
Of course.
It's the only way I can live with myself.
How quickly did he take his shirt off, too?
That's right. Yeah. You give the kid your shirt. You always got that off. Use your shoes. He admits in his posting on... He had a post about it.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing can happen under the radar.
There's the douchebag move right there.
It was one of the most amazing, powerful experiences of my life.
They helped me as much as I helped them. No, they didn't. They just didn't. I think this is kind of funny. Remember Lou Bega? He had a one-hit wonder called Mambo No. 5.
Yeah, I was not a fan of that song.
It was really annoying.
It was, yeah.
It bugged the crap out of me.
But it was catchy.
Really, from Jump Street. Everybody was playing it all the time.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see.
Yeah. Well, somehow, some way, some people thought instead of Lou Reed dying this weekend, Lou Bega died this weekend.
And wouldn't that have been a lot better, though?
He received a ton of condolences, as did his family, for the passing of Lou Bega from Mambo No. 5, when in fact it was Velvet Underground legend Lou Reed who passed away.
So it was just the name, just Lou?
One journalist.
That was it?
One journalist in Europe mistakenly identified who had passed, and it just swept through the internets like wildfire. See, we have too much communication. People say it's
too much
media.
I agree.
There's too much communication going on in the world. When one person can just affect the outcome.
Remember,
that's why time travel, by the way.
Remember when? Yeah, he brought that up. Remember when we were talking about this particular thing, and I said, "Hey, Lou Reed died," and then my friends thought, "No, he didn't." Maybe it was the Lou Bega thing.
Oh, maybe. Maybe they were confused by that hoax.
Well, there's a lot of publishing going on, but there's not a lot of oversight or editing anymore.
Yes.
So that's where the breakdown is. It used to be that news sources, you know, had somebody look it over. But now anybody can create a frenzy just by tweeting it out.
Right. I also want to give you a heads up, TV programming note tonight. Back in the Game is on ABC. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just saying this anymore because I really like this show and I like James Caan. And now I'm just saying it because I want the show to have a 20-year run. So that Bean, who said it'll be canceled by Thanksgiving, by Halloween, would just never be more wrong about anything. So watch Back in the Game tonight on ABC.
In one of its final appearances.
Let me see. It's airing tonight, and Halloween would be...
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So, canceled by Halloween, I guess, would prove to be...
It's not looking good for me.
Wrong.
Incorrect.
It's not looking good. I agree.
But maybe...
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
That's what I'm saying. Hope daylight savings time doesn't change the outcome.
Well, good point.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Marson of Glee is 35 years old today. Actress Nia Long, she's 43. Gavin Rosdale of Bush fame is 46. Kevin Pollak, an actor, a podcaster, an impressionist. The guy's got everything. 56 years old. Harry Hamlin, most recently, you saw him on last season of Mad Men. Married to Lisa Rinna, of course, was on the very popular L.A. Law TV series. He's 62. He's a good-looking 62, that Harry Hamlin. Hope I look like that when I'm 62. Ah, crap. I wish I looked like that when I'm 40. Henry Winkler. A.K.A. The Fonz, 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Here's a man who has 236 credits at last count on IMDb, Kevin. That's a working actor right there. Best known perhaps as a voice actor, he is Bender on Futurama. He, of course, is Jake the Dog on Adventure Time and so much more, as we'll find out. He is John DiMaggio, and he joins us
K-Rock listeners!
He's hooraying himself!
Yay!
I like that.
John, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm really excited because I did a documentary about voiceover people and, you know, people that do cartoons for a living and do video games and stuff like that. And we're having a big premiere next week at the Egyptian in Hollywood.
Wow.
And it's like come to fruition, you know?
What was the beginning of that like? Did you have to try and talk to a lot of people into it? Or?
Well, you know, it was funny because I just started to ask my peers, you know, just like, hey, man, I'm doing a documentary, and I want to know if you want to get involved. And, you know, they would say yes, and give you
a phone number that wouldn't be connected to anything.
No, but they would say yes. And once the ball started rolling and people started to hear, like, oh, that you're really doing this, like, and then we got the people that we got. You know, Billy West, and you know, and Tara Strong, and
with all of these that you mentioned, make sure to let us know who they do. Because
Billy West does everybody on Futurama.
Yeah, he's a legend.
I mean, he Ren and Stimpy. I mean, he did Fry and Zoidberg and the Professor and Zap Brannigan on that. I mean, he was Doug. He's the Red M&M. I mean, he's like everybody. He was like everybody in Space Jam. You know, Tara Strong is like, you know, she was on Powerpuff Girls. I mean, she's like Teen Titans, like all these cartoons. She's like the lead. What is it, My Little Pony? She's like, what, you know, Princess Sparkle or whatever it is. But, like, I got all these people to come in and you know, it just started to catch on, and everybody, you know, everybody was like, we had to turn people down.
You did.
We had 150 interviews that were about 160 hours worth of material.
Oh, my God.
And how long is the movie?
The movie is 95 minutes.
Wow.
And so, I mean,
you shot too much film.
Well,
huh?
We did. We did shoot too much film, but we had to, because I wanted to get as many people in the film as possible.
Now, I'm a little bit surprised that everybody was in, because I would think one of the great joys of your line of work is the anonymity of being famous and wealthy, but not having anyone know what you look like.
It's interesting that you say that, because I just kind of wanted to, give a little light to the unsung, you know, to the unsung heroes, I think, of this business. I mean, These are the working stiffs. These are the guys that come in and do amazing things. And I just wanted to show how talented they were. Hey, listen, they can go right back into the woodwork.
Sure.
You know? I mean, it's all good, you know.
What
it's,
I always think about those guys is that, you know, you immediately go, that guy does a pretty interesting voice. You know, Homer Simpson,
right.
Dan Castellaneta,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
But more importantly, they're actors and actresses.
That's the thing. I mean, people always ask, like, "Hey, how'd you get into it? I'm an aspiring voice actor. Like, what would you suggest I do?" Like, well, first of all, you got to be an actor,
right?
It's, you know, just because you can do a goofy, people don't get that.
Yeah.
Just because you can do a goofy voice doesn't mean, like, can you do a goofy voice for 4 hours
and tell a story?
You know,
and
the whole gamut, run the whole gamut with that voice. You know, people just don't get that. So I kind of wanted to, that's another thing that I shine the light on in the doc. And
doc is what we call it in the business.
Yeah,
beat.
It's called
doc.
And the documentary is called I Know That Voice. So, yeah, and the listeners can check it out on iknowthatvoice.com and Twitter at iknowthatvoice.
And the premiere is going to be November 6th at the Egyptian Theater
that
on Hollywood
correct.
Boulevard.
That is
There's
correct.
A post-screening Q&A panel with cast members. There's an after party, and you're throwing it all to benefit some great local charities, including the American Cinematheque.
Yes.
And also the water charity
yes,
as well.
Yes, Charity
right?
Water, which helps to create fresh water sources for developing countries. Which is pretty cool, you know.
Which is a much bigger problem, I think, than most people realize.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean? Like, that's one of those things where you go, wow, I didn't realize
it
was that serious.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You can buy tickets and VIP passes through Indiegogo.com if
that's
you
correct.
Just search I Know That Voice, or Fandango.com if you're interested in being there and seeing all the festivities on Wednesday night. You know, it's funny. We have a radio show. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, John, but we're on K-Rock.
Really? Seriously?
And occasionally.
Oh, my God.
And you would think that would make us outstanding candidates to do a different kind of voice work, like the stuff that you do. But every time we've been asked to do it, like, you know, we did a thing for King of the Hill once, for Mike Judge.
Right.
Didn't make the show. We're sucked.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Well,
that's,
we're not. Yeah.
Because we don't have those skills.
Because we're not actors.
We talk and we do radio, but that's a completely set of skills from what you do. As you pointed out, you are an actor.
I don't know whether to thank you or to say I'm sorry that you didn't get the gig. Like,
no, we're cool with it. Right. We learned early on that it does take more than just.
It's,
we know our limitations.
You know, there's a lot that goes with it. I mean, like, technically and you know, and with your preparation and stuff like that. But then again, I mean, sometimes it's just fun to just, bite my shiny metal ass, baby. Oh, yeah. You know, just, you know, whip that out and, you know, just play with it.
Even people in show business have been surprised when casts like the Simpsons voice casts have gone on strike or threatened to stop doing the show, because the amount of money they make for the amount of work that they do seems incomprehensible. But is the Simpsons half as good a show if it doesn't have those people doing the voice?
It's not. It's not as good a show. It's not as good a show.
Well, that's what they decided because they paid them.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, these people have created these voices that you know that are iconic, and you know, if you want to get a voice match, fine. It's not going to be as good because the acting's not going to be as good, and that's the thing that people forget. You know, it's like, oh, they're asking a lot of money. Well, the show is making a lot of money,
right?
And they're due a cut. You know, I mean, you know, if a show is if an animated show is as successful as a live action show, and the voice actors aren't getting paid, I mean, you know, that's kind of unfair. I mean, I'm hoping that the animators are getting paid too. quite well.
Oh, they're getting paid a couple cents a day.
You know,
yeah, they're Korean teenagers. You know that, right, John?
Yeah, I know. It's
middle schoolers
in India. In India and Korea, they are working their hands to the bone.
We it's are talking right. about the documentary called "I Know That Voice,"
Hooray!
And that voice that you know on our air right now is John DiMaggio. He is a voice actor and executive producer of the film. We'll tell you more about it and talk about some of the great people that you interviewed. People from Porky Pig and SpongeBob and Phineas and Ferb and Transformers Prime and the Darkwing Duck. The list just goes on and on and on. You have some very cool friends, John. And we'll talk some more about that when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. John DiMaggio in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a voice actor. You know him and love his work, although perhaps you've never heard his name before. He's been on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows, and he has a documentary out called "I Know That Voice" about his fellow voice actors. You can see the world premiere next Wednesday night at the Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard.
That's
John,
right.
I got a question for you, sir.
Yeah.
What was that voice? Let me hear that voice.
This is my smooth voice.
That's Barry White.
Like, hey, that's right. Hi, this is Barry White and Paul Quinn College. Cordially invite you. Sorry.
I like it. What about the trend in recent years to give all the voice acting to celebrities, to your Chris Rocks and your Ray Romanos and lots of guys like that who weren't previously doing it, and now you put a lot of you guys out of work?
Especially commercials.
Well, yeah, you know, it's hard to say something about that because – from one angle, I mean, I'm looking at it from, you know, from my peers' angle, and that, you know, it, you know, we're the journeyman. We know what
right.
we're doing. We can walk in and get it done, we're going to cost you half as much. I mean, if that, I mean, you know, a quarter as much. And you know, celebrities kind of just stroll in and do their own voice.
Yeah. That's true.
And so it's just like, you know.
But that's sort of what the client wants, too, right?
And see, that's the thing. If you're the producer of the film, then you get to call the shots. So, you know, I can see both arguments, but, like, you know, I side with my pals. We can do a much, much better job. And the film would probably make more money. You know, they'd probably be able to keep more money than have to worry about. Because, like, this turkey movie that's out now? There's a turkey movie out right now. It's a bunch of people in it.
Free
like,
Birds?
Yeah, or yeah, that's it. I mean, come on.
You know, the thing is, too, that a lot of celebrity voices are completely wasted in animation. Like Brad Pitt, for instance, he was in some Sinbad, whatever.
It didn't
stand out at all.
No,
it didn't matter.
It doesn't.
Angelina Jolie, another great example. They're great on the screen, but
sure.
just using their
and
voice.
And they're wonderful actors, but they don't, they, you know, it's just like, we know how to, listen, voice actors are, we're really... We tell a story with our voices, and we don't need our bodies to do it. It's like acting with your hands tied behind your back and your feet, you know, your feet tied together. Like, you know,
that's
you really,
not a good way to work.
It's not a good way to work, but we know how to do it.
Right.
And it's frustrating, you know, when you hear somebody's making $10 million and, you know, you hear their voice and you're like, Wow, that's shrill. That is not, you know, that's not comforting.
So pretty people shouldn't be voice actors.
You know, I don't know about pretty people, but, you know.
Yes, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, he is. That's what I'm saying.
Is Mel Blanc still the gold standard, the all-time
Absolutely.
Gamer?
I think so.
King.
I mean, and we have some great guys now that, you know, like some of these guys that I mean, like Billy West, Maurice LaMarche, you know, James Arnold Taylor, Tom Kenny.
He's SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, he's SpongeBob. He's unbelievable. He's Ice King on Adventure Time, too. And you know, Frank Welker, I mean, who has the most credits of anybody in the history of Hollywood.
Is that right? Wow.
Who does he do? He was the original Freddy on Scooby-Doo, and he's also a Nibbler on Futurama and stuff, but he's also Scooby-Doo now. He took over the role.
The In a World guy passed away, though, right?
Yeah, he did.
In
yeah.
a World.
Yeah, but he was an ad guy, and he just started doing, you know, the trailers.
Basically trailers, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they were just like, yeah, you know, your voice is pretty good. Why don't you do it?
Hey, John.
So he was like, okay.
Are there any stories in I Know That Voice about a phenomena that must happen to you and your peers, which is where you're recognized in line at the supermarket and somebody says, hey, aren't you fill in the blank?
You know,
the voice?
It's funny because I posted on Facebook that the movie was coming out, and I had a friend of mine who bartended at Barney's Beanery, and I think he's still there. I'm not sure. But he would joke about how, like, he would always try and get me drunk so that I would do Bender at the bar. You know, I say, hey, give me another beer, baby. Come on, man. You got to give me some booze.
You'd be a good wingman.
Yeah, that's totally. Why. So people would just, oh, geez, is that Bender at the bar? Really? But, you know, those days are kind of past me. But just the same, I mean, yeah, you know, people hear certain things, and then people, you know, like there's a great – Jess Harnell tells a story about how he's in Orlando, and he does the voice of Wacko on the Animaniacs, and he's done a whole bunch of stuff. And he tells a story about when it first came out, and he's down in Orlando at a theme park, and this kid's got a shirt of the Animaniacs. He's like, "Oh, I'm one of the Animaniacs. Yeah, that's me." He's just like, "Yeah, right, whatever." The kid's, you know, like, "Yeah, sure."
Dismisses him,
and you know, and he's just like, "Well, you know, I can do the voice." He's like, "Well, I can do the voice too," you know. And so, you know, so it's hard. I mean, you know, your anonymity is a great thing, but it also kind of hinders you because,
right.
You know, you know, they don't know you. They don't know. They don't know it's true. He's like, look, it's on my card. He's like, yeah, you just got the Animaniacs on your card. Like that doesn't matter.
I heard a story once. I think, John, about the great Jim Cummings.
Yes,
calling kids in the hospital as Winnie the Pooh, and I just thought that was about the sweetest thing I ever heard in my life.
Jim Cummings is a good guy. He plays Winnie the Pooh, and he also plays Tigger too. So he plays against himself. He reads against himself. I mean, you know, there's people that are so talented that they can read multiple characters. You know,
how about Hank Azaria, by the way?
Hank Azaria is great. He's in the film. He does
champion,
that.
Right?
Yeah, he's great. He tells a great story about Mel Blanc in the film, and he's awesome. And like Billy West, I've seen Billy West do three pages of dialogue by himself.
Wow.
You know, he'll do Fry, the professor, Zoidberg into Zap Branding, and back into the professor, back to Fry, back to Zoidberg, back. And you know, it's a whole scene by himself, alone. And you know, to see him do that at a table read,
that's crazy.
In front of people,
is
just incredible. And you know, it's a joy to do. I'm very fortunate in that.
It does sound like a great documentary. And before I give the information again so people can see it, do you put restrictions on yourself in terms of drinking and smoking and things like that?
You know, I
because it doesn't sound like it.
I started. Yeah, no, it's bad.
He's sick.
I actually started smoking cigarettes. I went to Paris in May.
What is wrong with you?
Tell me about it, man.
Started?
No. I mean, I
love the guy who just started.
No. I started smoking again.
Oh, like, okay.
I smoked. And then I quit, and then I smoke, and I quit, and I smoke, and I quit, and I smoke, and I quit. Right now,
are you really quitting?
Yeah, I'm quitting. Yeah.
I know, but are you really?
No. Okay. I mean, a couple years from now, I'll be like, boy, that glass of wine sure is going to go great with a cigarette. you know, but no, you take care of yourself. You do vocal exercises if you need to. But for the most part, you know, gargling with some salt water three times a day will keep you clear. And
the documentary looks fantastic.
I'm really excited. Thank you.
You should be. I know you put you know a year and a half or more of your life into this. So
we've been working on this thing since 2000. Like it came to fruition in 2009. Started in 2011.
Wow. Yeah. It's all finally going to be unveiled for the public at the Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard on Wednesday, November 6th. Post-screening Q&A panel with cast members and the after-party benefiting some great charities. You can get tickets and VIP passes through Indiegogo.com. Search for I Know That Voice, or you can buy them through Fandango.com. And then it'll be out right after the first of the year on video on demand on iTunes. If you want to own it or pre-order the DVD, you can do that as well. Voice actor and executive producer of the film I Know That Voice, John DiMaggio. Thanks.
Yay. Oh, yeah. It's going to be December 1st to December 21st on In Demand.
We already said goodbye, John.
See ya.
You can't hooray after we say goodbye.
Right. I've got a great idea, Ralph.
Yes.
Why don't you ask some questions of your comic book geeks that are the kinds of questions that they might know the answers to, so we can give away tickets for the K-Rock screening of Thor the Dark World November 5th at the AMC Entry City 15.
Listen, here's the problem. Is that my people can't get through. Something's happening. The phone lines are getting clogged with just people who want to go but just know nothing about comic books, and they just disappoint me and make me sad and angry.
All right, good.
So this game should be easy enough even for these people.
Okay. All right, we're giving away Thor tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you are Ralph's people, if you're a comic book geek, this is a game that we call Hometown Heroes.
Hometown Hero, where does he reside? Hometown Hero,
to play the game. Of course, many comic book characters are directly linked to and famous along with their hometowns. Hometown hero. These are fictional locations that are tied to a comic book character. For example, if I say Gotham City, of course you know.
Robin.
Ugh, it's Batman.
Right.
If I say Metropolis, it's going to be Superman.
Superman.
So these are the fictional locations. I give you the fictional location. You give me the comic book character, either hero or villain, who resides in that famous comic book location. It's simple, people.
You already gave away the only two that I know, so I can't
I'm not going to use those because everybody knows those.
Bloody mad. We haven't even started.
These are a little bit deeper.
All right. Who's our first contestant?
Nathan
is on the line.
Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Morning.
Nathan, you a comic book fan?
Yes, Ralph. I hope I'm not going to let you down.
Don't disappoint me, Nathan. Start me off right. In fact, this question has two possible answers. We'll take either one, okay? Here's your location. Atlantis.
Okay. Atlantis. Aquaman.
Well done,
nice.
Sir. We also would have accepted Submariner for that one. Submariner.
Oh, cool.
Well done. Hold on. We get tickets, right? He got them.
Yep, got the
tickets.
Right.
You're going to the movie.
Five pairs, right. Let's go to Peter. Hi, Peter.
How are you doing?
Good.
Peter, here's your location. Star City.
Star City.
Star City. What hero resides in Star City famously?
I have no idea.
I'm sorry. The Green Arrow. Green Arrow. Yeah.
All right.
Now in the TV series Arrow, they call it Starling City.
Yes, they do.
I don't know why they added the ling.
I don't know either.
Makes
that
it
is
even,
weird.
Even gayer than Star City, in my opinion, but they changed it slightly.
One down, four to go. Who's next?
Let's go to Wade. Hi, Wade.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Wade, I want to help you out. So I'll ask you this. Are you a Marvel guy or a DC guy?
I'm more of a DC guy.
More of a DC guy. Again. Okay, here you go. Coast City.
Oh, man. Is that Green Lantern?
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Yeah!
Although Ralph is now tailoring his questions to you.
I was trying to give away tickets.
By the way, Ralph, did you see... Wade, you hold on. Congratulations, you're going to the Thor. Did you see the huge news yesterday that after 70 years in New York City, DC Comics is moving to California?
Yes, I did see that.
Okay. They're moving to Burbank.
Yeah,
how about that?
Because Warner's owns them now. Warner Brothers,
right, sure,
for many
right.
years, has owned DC Comics. So I guess they're just moving everything to the entertainment division.
Somehow I feel like that's going to be good for comic book geeks. Like, give them a new place to stalk or camp out
how
or something. I don't know.
How dare you, sir. How
Let's
dare
talk
you.
To Steve, one of those potential stalkers. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing? Good morning, party people.
Good morning.
Steve, Marvel or DC? Let me help you
I'm
out.
I'm a DC guy, just like you, Ralph.
You're a DC guy. Okay, here we go. Central City, Steve.
Flash.
The Flash, yeah!
Nicely done.
Yeah!
Picking up steam. Going pretty well here, you guys.
You're coming through for me.
Let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Good morning, party people and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, Jason. Marvel or DC? What do you want?
Let's go Marvel.
Marvel, okay. The African nation of Wakanda.
Wakanda.
The African nation of Wakanda is the home to this hero.
Wakanda.
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama.
Close.
Nicely done.
The Black Panther.
Sorry, Ralph.
The Black Panther.
Oh, of course.
Of course, the Black Panther.
Nice try, though.
Of course.
By the way, that song is way out of Omar's range, right?
Yes,
of course.
Very much so.
Okay. That's why it's so beautiful. Art, hello.
Good morning.
Art, let me ask you, DC or Marvel? What do you want?
Marvel.
Marvel, okay. Latveria.
That would be Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom, sir.
Come on.
Yeah, my people. Yeah, my people.
Is that all of them, or do we have one more pair?
I don't know. What do we got?
Well, one, two, three. I think we've given away four.
We've given away four? Why don't we go to line number eight, since you guys are always bitching?
Hey, Shoshana.
Good morning.
Wait, you're a girl?
A female.
I am, yeah.
Did you
used to, with
boobies?
Yes, that's right.
How can you make it so ugly, Bean?
Are you a comic book fan, Shoshana?
My son is. So
call it for a guy. Okay, gotcha.
Oh, here we go.
Her son
is. Let's do Marvel, Ralph.
Marvel? I'm out of Marvel.
Nope, sorry.
I'm going to give you something. I'll tell you what. I'll help you. I'll give you a chick, okay? A chick.
Okay.
Since you're a chick, I'll give you a chick superhero.
All right.
Okay.
Themyscira is the name of the location.
Wonder Woman.
Well done.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You got it.
That was right.
Yay!
She was very surprised that was right.
She was right. You're going to see Thor: The Dark World.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and thanks for playing the game. Hometown Hero. Oh, yeah. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
Ralph Garman, go.
Ah! Did you like Olympus Has Fallen like I did?
I liked it.
Didn't see it.
No. You didn't?
Uh-uh.
It was kind of flew under the radar. It was loud, but it was. I thought it was really good, too. Gerard Butler did a great job in it. Aaron Eckhart made me wish he was my president. And a lot of people were surprised by its success, now so much so that they are doing a sequel. Olympus Has Fallen. The second film will be called London Has Fallen. Once again, Aaron Eckhart will play the President of the United States. He is going to the UK, along with the Speaker of the House, played by Morgan Freeman. And Gerard Butler will once again be the Secret Service agent in tow. Terrorist attack. And once again, Gerard Butler's got to kick some ass. You know me, I'm not a sequel guy or anything, but I would look forward to this.
I like the first one.
Just like Aaron Eckhart and Morgan Freeman back together again.
Yeah.
It's Two-Face and Lucius Fox together again from the Batman movies.
You look familiar to me. You used to have half a face, didn't you?
Owen Wilson, the Butterscotch Stallion, strikes again. We mentioned recently that he knocked up his trainer, Carolyn Lindquist. She's going to be his baby mama. Reports were that she was hoping that they could have a relationship, perhaps start a life together since she was going to have his child and all. Those hopes may be dashed by the new photos in Star Magazine this week showing Owen Wilson making out with a strange mystery brunette who is not
the mother of his soon-to-be-born child. So
hey, you can't tie down the Butterscotch Stallion, Ralph. You know that.
I know, but do you really want to cheese off a hormonal pregnant woman?
Who's in excellent shape
and could probably kick your ass? Do you want to poke that hornet's nest?
If there was any way to prevent pregnancy,
yeah, there's just a way.
That would be cool.
Last. You guys probably didn't see Saturday Night Live this past weekend.
Nope.
We never see it any weekend.
You're lost most weeks. And sure. This past week, Edward Norton was on, and they did a hilarious Wes Anderson horror movie trailer. And Edward Norton played Owen Wilson. That's why I bring it up. He did a great Owen Wilson with the wig and the voice and everything like that. It was very, very funny. Called The Midnight Coterie of Sinister Intruders, which is exactly what a Wes Anderson horror movie would be called. But it was great.
That's funny. While we're talking about impressions of Owen Wilson, check out Michael Fassbender's when you get it. Tom Hiddleston, who plays Loki in the Thor movies. He does amazing impressions.
Does he?
Yes. Including one of Owen Wilson, who we worked together with on in Midnight in Paris, the Woody Allen film. And he does really good impressions, but I've never seen an Owen Wilson impression quite as good as Tom Hiddleston, so you want to check that out. While we're talking about relationships, George Clooney may have a new girlfriend. Here's George Clooney, okay? Imagine, picture this. You're George Clooney.
Yeah.
You're 52 years old, you're on top of the world, and you get your pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Usually he picks models or something like that, but now he's got a smoking hot British lawyer named Amal Alamuddin, and she is beautiful and a brunette. She specializes in international law, was appointed as an advisor to the former Secretary General of the United Nations, Kofi Annan, and she is currently representing the head of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange.
Really? How
so she's like she doing all that? Super genius, beautiful woman, and Ben Clooney says, yeah, okay, give me that one now.
But she can't be more than 24, though. How has she accomplished so much?
Well, apparently she's a little bit older. You know, as Clooney's been pretty good about as he's sort of aging, dating age-appropriate women. They're always younger, but it's not ridiculous.
She's in for a good 2 months.
She is going to have the 2 months of her life. Congratulations.
Don't get too used to Italy.
But WikiLeaks is going to show all the naked pictures of George Clooney if he ever breaks up with her. She's going to leak all that stuff to Julian Assange. And The Walking Dead. No surprise here, AMC has announced that they have picked it up for a fifth season. Tremendous ratings for the show this season.
Can we talk about it yet, or is it still spoiler time?
Well, I'm not sure what
for
you're
the last
about.
Episode.
For the last episode,
yeah.
Because I made him wait 2 days.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's between
spoiler alert, that's everybody.
Paul and
turn
y'all.
It off right now if you haven't watched this week's episode.
I got no dog in this fight.
You kill off Glenn.
Oh no!
There's going to be hell to pay.
Oh, not Glenn.
Glenn.
Quagmire's dead.
No, not Glenn Quagmire. Oh no! Walking Dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that guy.
I was confused.
It's going to be hell to pay. Back to you.
What?
Huh?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Morrison of Glee. He is 35 years old today. Nia Long celebrates her 43rd birthday. Gavin Rossdale, or Galvin as we like to call him,
singer guitarist of Bush, 46.
We did a breakfast and a girl had that tattooed on her back. He's my favorite. It was spelled Galvin with an L.
Yeah.
I love this band so much, I got her name tattooed on me.
Galvin was the tattoo.
And we showed it to Gavin, yes, who thought that was very fun.
Kevin Pollak is 56 years old. Harry Hamlin turns 62. And Henry Winkler celebrates his 68th birthday today, October the 30th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, a quick reminder, our friend Adam Carolla was not able to join us as he do for the Week in Rage, but he is still going to be appearing tonight at the Amalfi Restaurant on La Brea Avenue. It is his final live podcast of the year, by the way. So if you want to see him at the Amalfi tonight with special guest John Lovitz, that's going to be at 7 o'clock. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the details, and you can still meet Adam, and he'll sign your bottle of Mangria at the Glendora BevMo. That's this Friday, November 1st at 5 p.m. Again, all the details at adamcarolla.com.
While we're doing business quickly, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and see Miss Double December Lux has a new photo shoot.
Right.
Want to check that out. Thank you to Pinup Girl Clothing for the clothes. Just maybe something to keep in mind.
Lux is the best. I'm going to miss her when she's not Miss Double D soon.
We're going to talk about offensive costumes right now. So if you're the kind of person that's very PC and you get offended easily, understand that that is the goal. That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to have people talk about costumes that they wore that were in terrible taste.
This is a tough conversation because everyone has a different line. I think the vast majority of people are not offended by any Halloween costumes at all.
I agree,
because they just think they're supposed to be fun and they're supposed to be funny. And for some people, that's a badge of honor to get a costume together that everybody looks at and goes, "Oh, dude, really?"
But the people
that's
who,
what you're going for.
Correct me if I'm wrong. In my opinion, the people who do get upset are not upset for themselves for the most part.
That's
like they're
true.
Upset. That is often somebody the else.
Well, this year in the news, and we're going to be taking your calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067 about the offensive Halloween costumes that you have worn that you are proud of. Now, are we just looking for the people who wore them or ones that people saw?
I think,
ones that people saw. Does it have to be their costume or can it just be something
they saw?
No, I think
it could be both.
Okay. So if you got an offensive Halloween costume to add to the conversation, you can give us a call right now. They're in the news a lot this year. Not just Julianne Hough dressing up as her favorite African-American character on Orange is the New Black. That got her in some hot water. But there has been the controversy over the anorexia costume this year. Have you guys heard about that?
No, I've not.
No.
This is a costume where you dress up like somebody who has anorexia and it makes you look like you're completely emaciated, like you're starving to death. Many people, those costumes have been pulled too. Many people have said, hey, there's nothing funny about eating disorders. There was a story yesterday about Pottery Barn that had to pull a costume. They had a sushi chef costume that they were selling. They
What's
had an adult version and a kid's version. It's a kimono costume that also has, for the men, a headband that has a Japanese flag on it. As many sushi chefs wear, by the way.
What was wrong with that?
Well, why don't you ask the Asian American advocacy group, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, who wrote an open letter to Pottery Barn saying Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are real people who cannot and should not be commodified as costumes. So they don't think, for instance, they think that's just treating a Japanese person as not as a real person, but as a product. They're the same people, by the way, who don't think that it is ever politically correct to dress up as a Mexican or to dress up as an Indian. I mean, how many people go to Halloween dressed up as an Indian? Well, that's insensitive to Native Americans, according to some people.
In my book, as long as you put sexy before it, I'm good.
I read another article with a list of do's and don'ts for Halloween. And one of them, for instance, is don't be a victim of violence. Nobody should ever dress up as a victim of violence. Don't come as a student shot at Columbine, somebody injured in the Boston Marathon bombing. Don't come as President Kennedy with a head wound. I mean, there's a long list of things that people are going to be offended by. And that's why we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. But before we go to the calls, we asked DJ Omar Khan to stop by.
Hey.
Omar, who, as you know, does all the sound for us on the behind the scenes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
DJ Omar Khan.
And I hope that your god-awful hair that you're growing is for some sort of costume you're wearing this weekend.
Nope. I just love it. Love it to death.
All right, what was your costume? Because you kind of ran into this in person, an offensive costume, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
it was
me. Yeah. It was remember a couple years ago when DJ Am and Travis Barker got into that plane crash?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, well, it wasn't funny, but I thought it would be funny to we had a Kevin Bean singles party and I was going to be DJing it. Mm-hmm. So I dressed up like DJ Am from the plane crash. So yeah. I tore up my clothes. I actually torched them a little bit, wore bandages and stuff. And then so I was at the party and 100% of the people who would ask me, "What are you supposed to be?" and I told them I'm DJ Am from the plane crash, just shook their head at
me. That ain't right. Yeah. They give you the whole "that ain't right."
Yeah, they just, really?
By the way, that ain't right.
Yeah.
That ain't right. I don't know that I would do that just because, although we're not friends or anything, I love Travis Barker so much, and that was the worst day of his life, and that was so horrible for him, that I would never, ever, ever want to put myself in a situation where something that I did might get back to Travis and hurt him.
Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Totally. It was the exact reaction that I was looking for.
Yeah, you want people to say, that's all right.
Dude, I was the biggest DJ am.
Yeah, you were.
I still am, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Kevin. All Kevins are bad news. I think we all know that. He's on line two. He's going to get us going here with the phone calls on offensive Halloween costumes.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys.
What'd you go as? Or your friend?
One of my friends, a female friend, she came dressed up as a sexy Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And she was Princess Diana, sexied out with a paper mache Mercedes Benz ring in front of the car around her neck.
Oh, dude. See, because she was in that car when she died.
Wow. That's just somebody going like Omar was, going for the head shake.
Right.
They want that reaction.
And how'd that go over?
Actually, not too bad. I mean,
it's because she's hot.
Yeah, she pulled it off.
Like Kevin said, if you're a sexy anything, you can get away with it. All right, thanks for the call. Let's do Craig real fast. He's on line five. His costume was so offensive, some members of his family still will not talk to him. Craig, what happened?
Sweet.
Hey, guys. I dressed up as Hurricane Sandy last year. I had a big cloud around me and then babies and houses and stuff hanging off.
Wow.
Timing.
This is shocking.
Was that within like 2 weeks of the devastation along the East Coast?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks later. We're in California, so I thought it was cool. And I posted it on Facebook. Everybody in L.A. got a kick out of it. But my cousins and other relatives on the East Coast blocked me from Facebook. Invited me from Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow, really? So they pretty much just excommunicated your ass.
Yep, pretty much a year later, still not talking to
me. All right, do you regret it, or was it worth the laughs?
Worth the laugh, I think it was.
Okay, there's our man.
There's our man right there.
There's our man. All right, everybody, hang on. We'll get to your calls in a moment. 1-800-520-1067. You're up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Camp. So it's a fine line between that costume that is hilarious and timely and that costume that is so offensive that your family excommunicates you, disowns you, like the last caller that we had here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's what we're talking about.
We need to remember to ask every person if it was worth it, because for him, it was worth it.
Yes. It was worth it, right. So I lost a few family members. I had a good time on Halloween last year. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of offensive Halloween costumes in the news this year in particular. We want to find out what your experience has been with that. Let's just roll through as many as we have time for. Let's go to Nathan. He's on line seven. He's up next.
All right. Hi, Nathan.
Morning, party people.
You dressed up as what?
I dressed up as Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, the year that he died.
Ooh, yeah. And that was a tough. I mean, he's a young man who was immensely popular and well liked. There were a lot of people who were bummed out about that. What was the reaction like?
Did you have like a stingray in your chest?
I did. I had a stingray in my chest, and I was wearing snorkel gear and his usual brown short shorts and button up shirt.
And what was the response?
People hated me. I was the scum of the earth at Halloween. That's for sure.
And was it worth the hate?
Oh, it was totally worth it. I like being that offensive. I love being the offensive one on Halloween. It's awesome.
All right, Nathan, thanks for the call. Let's go to Brisa. Brisa is on line six, and there's no way I'm saying that name correctly.
Brisa?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Your boyfriend is the one that dressed up as what?
Yes. He was Osama bin Laden, shot in the head with angel wings.
Now, I would think that would make him immensely popular at the party that year.
It was at a mosque, Bean.
Oh, well, there you go. There's the downside. Thank you, Brisa. Appreciate the call. How about Chris on line three? He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you guys doing, party people?
Good, thank you. Offensive Halloween costumes.
Yeah, I dressed up one year. I had the bottom half of a horse costume, and the top half was wearing a Superman suit.
Christopher Reeves.
Now, how long was that after his accident?
I'm not positive exactly how long. I know it wasn't that long afterwards, and we actually went as a pair. I went as that, and my white friend went as a black Jesus.
You guys are trying to cover all the bases.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we were trying to make sure we had all our bases covered before we went out that year. We wanted to offend everybody.
Worth the comedy?
I think it was.
All right.
I'd have to say it was.
All right, there you go.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Anthony. Found himself kicked out of a bar. He's on line two, thanks to his Halloween costume. Anthony, what'd you go as?
I went to the bar, and I walked in with the whole white supremacist and with the rebel patch and all that stuff, but...
with the sheet on your head bar. With a point and the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole point thing, the whole hood, and then it was a Mexican bar that I went into.
So the KKK was the costume, and what was the reaction inside? People were just uncomfortable with you just hanging out in costume?
Oh, yeah. I got kicked out right away.
Worth it?
I walked in, I did a little loop, and I got kicked out.
Worth it?
Yeah, it was worth it. I even took my the cape thing off. I'm Mexican, so I was like, "Hey, wait!" And no, it kicked me out.
Yeah, I don't think that one ever flies.
Yeah, really? Probably not. No. But we haven't had one listener say it wasn't worth it.
True.
That's a good point. It's something to keep in mind as you're playing this year's costume. Same thing with Nazis, Lisa. There's no way to ever pull it off,
no.
even if it's a funny Nazi.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't work.
That's Jesse James.
How about Jefferson on line one? He ran into a PC buzzsaw, I think, with his costume. Jefferson, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I had a friend show up to my Halloween party, October of 2001, dressed up as a 9/11 survivor.
Oh, a month afterwards?
Wow. Too soon,
a month,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my.
Everyone couldn't believe it, but then all he kept saying was, "I'm a survivor, though. I'm a survivor."
Which there weren't any, pretty much.
What what was that costume like?
It was a suit. He showed up in a suit with a briefcase covered in baby powder.
See, Kevin, he was one of the hundreds of people that got out of the World Trade Center. That's what he was trying to do. People who got away from
it. And was it worth it to him?
Yeah. Oh,
all right.
I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Okay. All right. Good.
Thanks for the call. Dear Kevin DeBean, Ray writes in, "I am going to be a sexy Catholic priest this year with a child mannequin stuck to my crotch." So our listeners are continuing to come through.
Well, I've been the pregnant nun. I mean, that's easy.
I hope that we have helped our Kevin DeBean listeners that are last-minute costume people still looking for some great ideas. I think we've offered some solutions for you today. Kevin DeBean, a few years ago, I was at the West Hollywood Halloween Parade, and I saw a few people wearing the Terry Schiavo costume. They had matted hair, curled up hands, slack jaws.
That's great. That's entertaining.
Just
good
time.
Good.
That does make an exciting, thrilling party, doesn't
everyone
it?
Everyone be proud of yourselves today. All those callers, I hope they're proud, proud people.
Well, they all were.
Those are our people, Ralph.
They're your people. They're not my
people. Oh, they're our people.
You're our people. I don't have... your people are not my people.
Look, you're on the boat.
My people are not on your people.
You may be here on the boat
with your
against your wishes, but you are on the boat. I'm sorry to say. Yeah. So you're going the direction that we're going, my friend.
Yeah, which is down.
All right.
The band's playing on the deck, and I'm trying to get on the lifeboat.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat.
You guys are the icebergs.
Here's the Titanic's Ralph Garman.
Yes, indeed. Ah... It's hard being a celebrity.
You have to tell me.
A lot of people making demands on your time. You got all that money. How do you spend it?
Sure.
It's hard. Megan Fox is not running into that problem. Word has it that she can't stop worrying about money. Turns out her husband, Brian Austin Green, loves to splurge.
Oh, really?
He's a spender. Ha! Now you know how men feel, Megan Fox. I don't know what that means, but she has made the money in that relationship for a long time, and Brian Austin Green apparently is the one who likes to spend it. He has splurged, dropped a mint on multiple nannies, landscapers, maids, pool cleaners, other workers. Friends say Megan is beginning to worry that they're living beyond their means and is concerned what happens when the cash stops rolling in. And when you think about it, when's the last time you saw her on a movie screen?
That's true.
So it's understandable. But don't worry, Brian Austin Green's got all that money rolling in, right?
He probably has a lot of 90210 cash, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's still rolling in big checks.
Yeah, I don't know. Syndication deals tend to taper off as you get further and further away from the project. So. I just hope Megan's not out in the street someday. Actually, I do hope he's out in the street.
I love the Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, thank you. Congratulations to the folks at The Walking Dead. AMC has picked up that series for a fifth season. No surprise, given the tremendous ratings for the first couple of shows this season. In fact, Walking Dead is TV's highest-rated scripted series, averaging 14.3 million viewers.
Wow, that's
an
huge
episode. They also have a commanding lead in the coveted 18 to 49-year-old demographic, which is what advertisers love to reach with their products. AMC is reportedly getting around $350,000 a pop for a commercial on that show.
Do you think there might be some people who jumped on board The Walking Dead this year because they got that hour freed up from Breaking Bad going away on Sunday nights?
That's an excellent point.
There's also a lot of talk about it. A lot of my friends went back and are starting to watch from the beginning, which is kind of a strange thing because they're talking 3 years behind.
Things are talking dead because people are talking dead?
Possibly.
So what you're saying is Chris Hardwick's most powerful man in Hollywood.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
That's exactly what I meant.
And rightly so. Remember Mambo number 5?
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica by my side. A little bit of Rita's all I need. A little bit of Tina's what I see.
No.
Remember how we all wished Lou Vega, the recorder, man who recorded that song, would die?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Well, imagine your disappointment when you thought you had that wish, and then you found out instead that a European journalist identified Lou Bega as having passed away this past weekend instead of Lou Reed. How do you confuse those two?
They're roughly the same, right?
No, not even close. One guy made the mistake and it just swept through the internet.
It is weird how that confusion happened because, I mean, it's a pretty common name, but, I mean, completely different types of music. Lou Reed was decades older than Lou Bega was. One's a legend, the other's a one-hit wonder. Like, how do you mix those two up? It doesn't make any sense.
No idea. But unfortunately for Lou Bega, he was forced to tell his fan that he was still alive on his Facebook page. So imagine that. He had to go to all that trouble calling that guy up. Hey, Steve? Yeah, don't worry. I'm still here.
Still here.
Working on Mambo number 6. Don't worry, brother. It's coming out soon. Stay tuned. Speaking of songs, Halloween mother effing spooks today.
Right?
Where was that? Where was
overdoing
that?
Overdoing it. I think we're playing we overdid it too much.
You are fail, Bean.
This isn't the appropriate time of year for that song, Ralph.
He's doing the right thing.
After tomorrow, we got nothing.
He's doing the right thing.
And tomorrow, I'm going to be doing the Monster Mash each and every hour during Showbiz Beat. So
is that right?
Come on. Where are you going to find time for Halloween spooks?
That's been the problem all month, is where do we find time? We've got a very busy show.
It's your show!
I know, but I can't eat into everybody else's time with our nonsense. We've
you
had lots of guests.
You eat into everyone's time with your nonsense all the time.
That's the very definition of what you
pick
do.
Pick nonsense that people actually are interested in. Versus all the other nonsense.
I love Halloween spooks, and I miss it, too. I wish we had time to play it more.
I am glad that we don't.
Still a lot of fallout about the Jonas Brothers breaking up. A lot of people are very sad. Nick, Joe, and Kevin came to agreement that it was all time to move on. Nick told his brothers that he felt, quote, trapped in the band. Well, I can see why. Because I'm sure Nick really wants to stretch as an artist. Get out there and do that long-awaited jazz fusion album he's been working on.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
He really is. The tour was canceled. Of course, it's all over now. And Nick Jonas has now changed his name to Yoko Jonas. I don't know why, but apparently he was the one who broke up the band. If you are a Jane's Addiction fan, get your ass down to Hollywood Boulevard this morning. 10:30. Still got some time to get down there in front of the store. Playmates of Hollywood at 6436 Hollywood Boulevard. Jane's Addiction getting their star there on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and then we'll perform right there in the street. So if you're a Jane's fan,
I can't wait.
You're going to want to check it out. John Densmore of The Doors, but the drummer for that legendary L.A. band, and Taylor Hawkins of Foo Fighters and other projects will be inducting the boys into the Hall of Fame when they get their
star. Our audience is going to take well to this?
I think they will, because we have a lot of Jane's Addiction fans.
They will take well.
They will take well to it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. All these folks born today, October the 30th. Matthew Morrison of Glee is 35 years old. Actress Nia Long is 43. Gavin Rosdale of Bush celebrates his 46th birthday today. That guy doesn't look 46.
No.
Handsome, buff bastard.
I got
married to Gwen Stefani.
The Bling Ring on demand last weekend, the Sofia Coppola movie.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he's in it. He's got a pretty sizable part in it as an actor.
He's acted a couple times.
I was very surprised to see him. I did not even know he was in it.
He's quite talented.
Yeah, he's very good.
Actor Kevin Pollak, one of my personal heroes. Guy's a comedian, an actor, and a brilliant impressionist. 56 years old today. Actor Harry Hamlin turned 62. And actor Henry Winkler celebrates his 68th birthday.
Yeah!
The Fonz. Fonz. I remember one of my earliest memories of this radio station we're on currently. Was it K-Rock?
It's K-Rock.
K-Rock. K-Rock. K-Rock. Yes. Q. Uh-huh. Was back in the days when I was not working here. I was simply roommate to Adam Carolla, a.k.a. Mr. Burcham, on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Adam had extra tickets and invited me to an acoustic Christmas. Back in the old Gibson Amphitheater. Remember that place?
Sure.
Yeah.
Back before it got torn down.
And so I went there, and Henry Winkler was in attendance because Weezer was performing, and they had at the time a hit called Buddy Holly.
That's right.
Which featured a lot of clips from the old Happy Days show. And I think Winkler brought him out on stage, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But apparently Henry listened to the show and was a big fan of Mr. Burcham and told Adam Carolla that. And so Adam Carolla grabbed Henry Winkler by the coat and drug him across the room to have Henry Winkler repeat that he liked Adam in front of me so I could hear it.
Hey, say what you said.
Just follow me. Say it again.
Say what you just said. Hey, Ralph, come here. Say to this guy what you just said to me.
And Henry just looked at me like, who is this guy and why am I doing this? He's like, I was just saying, I like Mr. Burcham. I think it's a funny.
Yeah, see? Bond likes me.
Like, oh, man.
Poor Henry Winkler.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Biz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All-New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Asa Butterfield, the star of Ender's Game.
Oh, I rented that. Boy, a lot of lube. A lot of lube used in Ender's Game.
I'm not sure that's the same one. This
really?
Is a kid. Is
oh,
the star
kid,
of it?
Geez, yeah. No.
That's not the same thing. Brand new internet roundup. King of Mexico was bold enough and dumb enough to go last night outside a Staples Center, dressed all in Clippers gear, and try and talk Lakers fans out of being Lakers fans. Got some highlights of that. Hopefully he's getting punched in the face. And the great Stan Lee on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.